Support for 51% comes from Berkshire Co-op Market, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, a community-owned natural grocery store dedicated to sustainable agriculture, the local economy, and the environment, working within the community to better Berkshire County one basket at a time. Berkshire.coop.
On this week's 51%, we learn that, for the first time, the Culinary Institute of America has more women than men in its student body, and it's reflected in the culinary world.
And the women are everywhere. They're executive chefs for cruise lines, they're executive chefs in restaurants. They're starting to come up through the ranks.
And we meet one of the women enrolled there to hear her thoughts on the change. I'm Allison Dunn, and this is 51%. I visited the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York, to speak with Chef Cynthia Keller, Associate Dean of Culinary Arts, about a percentage some of you may know a little something about.
The Culinary Institute of America has reached a milestone where the demographics of our student body represent 51% females in the student body in culinary arts and baking and pastry arts in our bachelor's program.
Did it creep up to it, or was there a sudden rise?
I think it crept up, but there were certain factors that definitely impacted it. The addition of the baking and pastry associate degree program definitely attracted a lot more female students into that program. And then as we expanded into offering our bachelor degree program many years ago, again, more female students joined the college and more students, female students, stayed on to complete their bachelor's degrees.
What does this mean? What does this mean, A, for the CIA, and then for, you know, the restaurant hospitality industry at large?
Well, I think it means great things for the CIA. I think it really just, gender diversity, ethnic diversity, it just makes a place really rich. And I think that it brings a lot of understanding and camaraderie. And I think for the industry, when male and female students are in an environment where they're learning together, they're working together, they're building the same skills and competencies together, then it's kind of a no-brainer that when they go out in the industry and they're in positions of influence, that they're going to think about the people that were around them as they were learning. So it's going to be like, hey, I worked with this great gal, I worked with this great guy, I want them on my team. So I think that it brings that possibility because they've seen each other do the same job and they've done it together.
What about the higher echelons of the culinary world where females have been more absent, right? I mean, getting to the top. It's true in the culinary industry as well, is it not?
It is very true. And I think historically, it really, the industry was very male dominated. You go back, to some of the chefs that trained in Europe and they came up through these European apprenticeship programs, Jacques Pepin, for example, where they left home at a fairly young age. They lived away from home. They lived where they were working and they followed this apprenticeship model starting at, age 12, 13. So it led to sort of having the experts in the industry that were men. And I think that really shifted in this country as we really modeled more, and the CIA definitely was in a leadership role, but sort of modeled the idea of going to a culinary school to learn the craft and then go out into the business. That very much leveled the playing field for women. It became regarded as a profession. There was more opportunity. But still, in the early days, there was this sort of, the teachers and the mentors were still men. There was also a lot of bravado. I'm CIA class of 1983. At that time, it was 20% female students to male students. And there was a little bit of this, you had to be as rough and tough and gnarly as the guys, to keep up with them. Must be able to lift, huge cases of potatoes and stock pots. And ironically, I was just doing orientation with brand new first year students yesterday. And one of the women came up and asked me afterwards, she said, I'm a little concerned. Do I need to work out to be able to be successful? Do I need to lift really incredibly heavy stuff? And what we've all learned is that, a kitchen work environment, is a fairly dangerous one, and we need to do all the things we can as a team to be safe. So nobody should be lifting anything too heavy. Nobody should be walking across the room with, you know, kettles of boiling stock. You know, it's not smart whether you're, you know, a Superman or a very petite female to be, you know, overdoing.
With women, though, let's talk about this, women getting to the top again, because you can substitute any industry,
mm-hmm.
you know, and say, wow, it's great. We're seeing more women coming up the ranks, as it were. So this means hopefully, ultimately, more top chefs, more people running culinary businesses, you know, more people at the top. How will this translate? Do you expect that 5 to 10 years, 2 years? Or are you seeing, you know, you mentioned the baking and pastry, did mm-hmm. you say, you know, a lot of women, predominantly women. Does that lend itself to being at the top?
Well, it's interesting. A lot of our female students who are in the baking and pastry program, or a lot of the students in that program, male or female, I think initially the CIA's vision was that that these students would become part of a team in a restaurant or a hotel, that they would be taking the role of the baking and pastry chef. But our data that's coming back from our office, our career services office, the data that's coming back is showing that this particular group of students are becoming more entrepreneurial. They're going out and they're opening bake shops, they're opening baking and paste, you know, bakery cafes, and they're going out and they're being much more entrepreneurial. So they're not going where we thought they would go, which would be to be part of a team that still had the classic structure where the pastry chef would be pastry chef, but still probably reporting up to an executive chef. So that's kind of an interesting dynamic. And in many ways, no surprise, there's a different form of artistry in baking and pastry. So maybe they have a little bit more of that entrepreneurial spirit, not to say that the culinary students don't have it as well. I think baking and pastry arts, too, it's very interesting. And to me, it's interesting because of the number of female students. Baking and pastry, they really have to draw down on their STEM learning, science, technology, engineering, mathematics. And you think, why baking and pastry? But we need science, you know, the science of yeast, fermentation, how to bake bread, that's scientific, how the ingredients relate to each other. Technology, there's a lot more technological invention and implementation that's going on in baking and pastry techniques, especially when we get into confectionery like chocolates. And we had a project where we were using 3D printing in that area to be, you know, working with sugar printing. So again, you don't think of baking and pastry as technology, but there's a lot of technology there. Engineering, you know, how do you design some sort of spectacular showpiece like a wedding cake, but really, you know, looking at the more modern trends of the way desserts are being prepared. So there's that whole engineering and design. I have this idea in my head, how am I going to design it to make sure that it stands up and makes it from my workbench to the presentation in front of the guest? And mathematics. In culinary, and I'm a culinary chef, my husband is the pastry chef, go figure, but in culinary, you know, I will be evolving a dish in the pan as it moves along. I can taste it, I can add a little bit more sugar, salt, or acidity to balance the flavors as they're developing, but in baking a pastry, it's very scientific, it's very exact. So again, they really have to rely on their mathematics, their ratios, and really drill down on, you know, so if I have to make sure that these ingredients are accurately scaled, that it's all correct. So it's kind of fascinating, again, that's an area where, you know, our females are drawn and really excelling.
Where aren't the women?
I don't think they're pretty much everywhere. They're drawn to things that aren't necessarily thought of as traditional female domains. Lots of women are focusing in on artisan butchery and charcuterie. So again, my great grandfather was from Germany. He was a butcher and sausage maker. And my grandmother wanted to follow him into the business. Her brothers were allowed, but even though she had the most refined palate and probably the best business sense in the family, was discouraged because, oh, you know, it's too rough. It's all men in there. So women are going into those roles. They're getting involved in different farm-to-table agricultural programs. I don't think there's anywhere where the women aren't getting involved. I think it's, you know, and it's wherever their interests take them.
So who stands out? I can think of a lot of famous male chefs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hard pressed for the women, unless I go back decades. And I'm just your layperson culinarily speaking, mm-hmm. you know, so I'm not in what where I'm going with this are role models.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're so important in fields. If you don't have someone to look up to who looks like you, in a sense.
Yeah.
You know, you think that, oh, it's a harder path or, you know, whatever. So maybe you could speak to where the role models are and where they are at the top.
Well, there's, you know, as we say, you know, the early pioneers, you know, who are still around and doing the job. Alice Waters, certainly from Chez Panisse out in California. She's really someone who created a whole sensibility around food and the table. And, you know, so she's a great, great example of, you know, one of the forerunners. I think, you know, though she never considered herself a chef, but a home cook, but, you know, we have, you know, the icon of Julia Child. But then we look, you know, kind of fast forward to where are the women today, who are the women today, and what are they doing? We have Melissa Kelly, who's up at Primo up in Maine, and she does a phenomenal job. Her restaurant's fantastic. She works as hard as any executive chef I've ever seen. I've, you know, popped my head in the kitchen on a visit there, and, you know, I got the quick, like, hey, and then right back to work. And I looked around the kitchen, and a few of my students or students that I know kind of popped their heads up, like, you know, kind of like prairie dogs, and, you know, kind of like, hey, chef, and then right back down and right back into the thick of production, which is exactly what you want to see. Barbara Lynch has a fabulous story. Barbara's in Boston. And Barbara, you know, really kind of came up as someone who came from a tough part of town, had not a great experience in traditional schooling, got involved in the restaurant business, and went on to create not one, but multiple restaurants, and has a fabulous restaurant group. So there are a lot of women that are involved. There's a lot of organizations that kind of sprung up. The Women Chefs and Restaurateurs is a really great group. Lydia Bastianich was one of the founding members of that group. And again, Lydia's a pretty neat example of, you know, someone who kind of fell into the business kind of based upon a need. She was trained as a chemist, if I recall correctly, but a good home cook, had an opportunity where she needed to support her family, started cooking, and, you know.
That'll do it.
Yeah. That'll do it, you know, and the doors, you know, hard work and honest food kind of paid off. So she's a founding member of the WCR, Women Chefs and Restaurateurs. There's another group, the Women Food Service Forum, which really does a lot of leadership, role modeling, mentoring of women in the food service industry. A lot of their membership is in the fast casual dining sector. So they have a huge national conference every year, and their whole thing is based upon competencies, so teaching and learning. So there are many more opportunities to get out there, and the women are everywhere. They're executive chefs for cruise lines. They're executive chefs in restaurants. They're starting to come up through the ranks, and really partner with chefs. And here at the CIA, we have, you know, a program for students who are managers in training who partner with the chef instructor faculty members and the front of the house faculty members in the public restaurants. And so it gives them another opportunity for developing their leadership skills, their management skills. And a while back, I kind of took a look around and I was like, I see a lot of our female students have taken, you know, those leadership roles. So we do a lot of focus on that leadership and team building here.
But I'm wondering if, you know, you looked at this when this data came, 51%, wow. Is there a marketing aspect here now to CIA? Not that CIA doesn't have its cachet in attracting students on its own. It doesn't, you know, but everyone markets, everyone has stuff out there. So is this something you can use?
I'm sure. You know, I think that it's, I think that it makes it 51% female. It lets young female students who are in, you know, high school, who are thinking about careers in this business, it's letting them think like, hey, I can go to school there. Kat Cora went to school there. She's a famous chef that I see on TV. And there's going to be lots of other, you know, women, like young women like me. So I'll be able to make friends. I'll be, you know, it's going to be a great place for me to be.
Before we wrap up, though, Keller has one more 51% type piece of information to share.
The founders of the Culinary Institute of America were two females, Frances Roth and Catherine Angel. And that was back in 1946, and it was at a time when, during the war, there were less European chefs coming to take those professional chef jobs, because the Europeans were staying in Europe to rebuild their countries. And so it was geared towards young men who were returning and needed a vocation. We had jobs that needed filling. But in 1946, we accepted all students, men and women. The requirement was that you had a high school diploma or the equivalent in order to be in the program. And our very first graduating class included a female student. So I think that's something that, you know, that again, you know, looking back to who were the players, it was women that got this ball rolling and saw the importance and value of professional training and the cultivation of culinary arts as a well-regarded profession.
That was Cynthia Keller, Associate Dean of Culinary Arts at the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York. And while the CIA was founded by women and enrolled women at the beginning, there was a time when women were not accepted. From 1966 to 1970, admissions requirements were changed to read any male between the ages of 17 and 35. And the 1969 catalog explained, girls are not accepted for the regular course, but are welcome in the special summer courses. The reason is that with so few girls applying, it is uneconomical for the institute to provide the special facilities, washrooms, etc. required. In short order, the reference to girls was changed to women, and in 1971, women were once again admitted for the full program. After speaking with Cynthia Keller, I made my way to the tavern of one of the CIA's restaurants on campus to share a table with Stephanie Smida. She's a culinary science student, soon to be graduate, and responds to the news of women making up 51% of her school's student body.
It's just amazing to see that a once male-dominated industry and a school that was founded just for mainly World War II veterans has increased in the women population. I just think it's really cool to be a part of it and see it happening right now.
How do you want to see that translate to the real world, so to speak? How do you hope that this is mirrored out there?
I just hope that women chefs, in particular on the culinary side of it, get more recognition for what they're doing. We do, on the pastry side, there are more women, but of course the culinary side is male-dominated, and the female chefs that are there are often underlooked. There, for example, Dominique Krenn is an amazing chef down in California, and she does amazing things, and she's been doing this for so long, but we haven't really heard much about her until very recently. While you have chefs like Thomas Keller, Grant Atkins, very famous male chefs that we hear about almost all the time in the news and everything as to what they're doing.
What do you hope to do?
When I get out of here, I'm hoping to go back into the kitchen. They say, this sounds really corny, but they say you don't really know that you miss something until you're not doing it anymore. And I realized my time in bachelor's, I love the science of it. I love learning about it. But I'm not baking anymore, and that's truly what I want to do. Like, I just want to be in the kitchen, be around other people sharing the same interests as me, and just doing what I really like.
So what kind of place? Where do you see yourself?
I want to go into catering. I like large-scale events, doing the same thing over and over and over again, doing serving maybe 200 plates of a banquet and seeing the components come together at the, and then in that final moment you're building the plate, you're just like, oh my God, look at it. I built all these components for the past week, and you can see the final product, or it's something you envisioned in your head and it's coming together in the end.
So you say culinary science, and it's hard to ignore the word science. So what of your field, or what do you like about the science aspect of it?
The science part of it is just, I like knowing why it's actually happening. Like, for example, yeast is one of my favorite things to talk about in the science classes because it's just such an amazing thing. It's like this tiny little microscopic organism can do so many things. It makes wine, it adds life to bread, it produces beer, and it's the same exact thing in all those applications. I just think it's really cool to look at food on that level, which is something I wasn't really exposed to before.
Did you think that before you, or maybe you already knew about this before you came here, did you realize how science-specific it would be?
In the baking side, I was aware that it was more science behind it, but on the culinary arts side, I didn't think that much about it. I was like, oh yeah, they just can put whatever they really want into the pot and it'll come out great no matter what. But there really is an interaction that goes on, especially in like the base components, like making a stock. Like you're looking at how the proteins are gonna come together and all the flavors are gonna meld together to form that broth over a period of time. So it's really cool to think about it on a culinary arts level in comparison.
What do you think stands out now that women outnumber men?
What stands out to me is just the fact that in the kitchens here, the men and the women are held to the same standard. We're not looked down upon in any way. We're held to the same grade level, we're held to the same exact standards as anyone else. And I think that if the school can instill that in everyone here, once all those graduates come out in the industry now, that'll spread and it'll just keep going and going.
From what you're saying, it's very interesting what you just said. So is it your take that out in the world, it's not equal?
A little bit. I mean, in my microeconomics class recently, we were talking about payroll and how women still make like 79 cents on the dollar compared to men. And I'm just like, how is that still happening right now? Like, I do the same exact thing as anyone in my class now. I do more at work than them sometimes. And it's just like, to realize that I could be getting paid less than a man in the industry that we're both so passionate about and have the same degree from, it's like, what's the point of that?
Where would you like to see more women out there?
In regards to the food service industry itself?
Yes.
I think that just more women on a line in a kitchen in general, like just working, doing the hard work, preparing all the dishes, cranking stuff out. You don't really see that. When I was out on my externship, the line was predominantly male-dominated. I was put in pastry because that's what I did. But I would walk there all the time, and it was male-dominated, and because they don't think that you could handle it, because it's adrenaline, there's a rush going on. And it was just, that's where I think women should be. Like, they don't need to be at the top, but just give us a chance at the bottom and let us work our way up there so we can show you that we can do it.
I wanted to ask you, Stephanie, how you think CIA has prepared you to match your male counterparts in the culinary world?
That's actually something I've been thinking about a lot recently, because I'm gonna be graduating here soon. And I think I could hold my own. I've been in a class now where it's dominantly female, and I've had to hold my own there, and I've had to learn to exert myself and raise my voice to get my point across, something that I was not at all when I started here. I was afraid of everything, even my own shadow when I started school. And now I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to do this just as well as you. Like, let me do it. Like, you don't need to do it. I don't need your help. Like, even yesterday's a good example. I was carrying the storeroom order, and it was heavy. And literally all the guys that were upstairs were like, let me help you. I was like, no, like, I can do it myself. I don't need your help. So I just think it prepared me by not being afraid to, like, do anything on my own and just I can do whatever I want.
And that was culinary science student at the CIA, Stephanie Smida, soon to be doing what she wants. And that's our show for this week. Thanks to Patrick Garrett for production assistance. Our executive producer is Dr. Alan Shartok. Our theme music is Glow in the Dark by Kevin Bartlett. This show is a national production of Northeast Public Radio. If you'd like to hear this show again, sign up for our podcast or visit the 51% archives on our website at wamc.org. This week's show is number 1457.